From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, August 29th. I'm Abby Larico. The new supervisor of the Mark Twain National Forest says his biggest challenge will be meeting the diverse needs of visitors, landowners, and conservationists.
Being all things for everyone, you know, the National Forest is for everyone, and we manage for multiple uses.
A conversation with the new head of Missouri's only national forest coming up after the news on The Gateway. Marcellus Williams is a St. Louis man scheduled to be executed next month. After several twists in the case, his fate is now in the hands of a St. Louis County judge. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has been following this. She has the latest now from a Wednesday hearing.
Williams was sentenced to death for the 1998 murder of a former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter. Prosecutors now believe he did not commit the crime and have filed a motion to vacate that conviction. The hearing focused on test results that found DNA belonging to two people who worked in the office at the time on the handle of the murder weapon. Attorneys for Williams called it bad faith destruction of evidence, a violation of his rights. But the Attorney General's office argued that during the trial in 2001, no one knew that DNA could be passed by a simple touch, much less that technology would advance to being able to test for it. The judge in the case must rule by September 13th. Williams is set to be executed September 24th. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The heat wave this week caused electricity demand to surge across the Midwest and South Central U.S. The Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, the grid operator that serves 15 states, including part of Missouri, issued what it calls a max-gen alert when above-normal temperatures put additional stress on the energy grid Monday. Grid operators act as air traffic controllers of sorts for energy generation and consumption across regions of the country. MISO spokesperson Brandon Morris says the alert advises utilities to reduce electricity use if possible.
If you can, delay your maintenance, run today so we can get through, you know, these tight operating conditions so we can increase the amount of supply in order to serve the demand that we're seeing because it's so high.
By Tuesday evening, the alert was lifted and energy supply and demand were back in balance. The hot weather continues today with a heat advisory for the St. Louis area now extended through this evening. A new public safety law signed last month by Missouri Governor Mike Parson went into effect Wednesday. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has more about the years-long fight for its passage.
Blair Shanahan Lane was killed in 2011 by a stray bullet on the 4th of July in Kansas City, and her family has been fighting ever since for legislative change. Now, Blair's law effectively bans celebratory gunfire and also creates statewide penalties. A first offense would be a Class A misdemeanor with felony charges for further offenses. The new law also includes greater penalties for harming or killing a police dog, and it also establishes a cybercrimes task force. Democratic State Representative Mark Sharp of Kansas City has sponsored the legislation for several sessions. He says he's hopeful the law will save lives and that it'll effectively be enforced by police departments across the state. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Former Missouri State Representative Kathy Conway has died. She was 69 years old. The St. Charles County Republican served in the Missouri House for four terms and was the chairwoman of an appropriations committee funding the state's public safety and corrections departments. Conway was one of the first Republicans to call for then-Governor Eric Greitens to consider stepping down in 2018 after he admitted to an extramarital affair. She was eventually appointed to the Missouri Ethics Commission, which enforces the state's campaign finance and conflict of interest laws. Conway is survived by her son. Her husband, Patrick Conway, died last year. And another notable local passing, Ted Drews Jr., who led his family's beloved frozen custard business in St. Louis for decades. He was 96, just a year older than the iconic frozen custard shop on Chippewa Street, opened by his father in 1941. Some customers say they look forward to returning to the popular spot Drews led for more than 80 years. Diane Albinger has been coming back for much of her lifetime. She says Drews' dedication to St. Louisans won't be forgotten.
You know, he's brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, so his life had a lot of value. And, you know, it's sad that he passed, but I'm sure that, his memory will live on in his custard forever.
The Chippewa store draws countless custard lovers all year round. It really is good. Illinois residents, the state is redesigning its flag, and you can submit your ideas for what the new one should look like. The current one is white with the state seal in the center above the word Illinois. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the Illinois Flag Commission is taking ideas until October 18th.
Starting next week, Illinois residents can submit their flag designs online or by mail. The state legislature voted last year to create a flag commission to oversee the redesign process. The commission will pick 10 entries from the public based on how they reflect the identity of the Prairie State. From there, the public will vote next January and February. Illinois Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias released the details Wednesday.
I strongly encourage anyone who is interested to let your creativity flow and run your idea up the flagpole. I couldn't be more excited about this contest, and I look forward to seeing your designs.
After the public feedback, the decision will ultimately be left to the state legislature, who can opt to pick the new design or keep the old one. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Mark Twain National Forest includes more than 1.5 million acres of land across southern Missouri and hosts more than 500,000 visitors a year. Vince Keeler is the new forest supervisor as of this month. He sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All to talk about his vision to manage the land in terms of conservation and recreation.
In terms of recreation, you have a lot of people come to the National Forest for many different reasons, and they come from diverse areas. Just for instance, if you have someone coming from St. Louis and they're used to the noise of the city, they may get scared being in the woods or hiking on a trail, whereas you have someone else from maybe a rural area and just want to continue to have serenity and peace and quiet. You know, they actually, they're hiking or recreating for a different reason. And so just helping people try to understand and respect each other's differences when it comes to being out on trails, for example.
Do you think the Forest Service plays a role in trying to encourage a wider and more diverse group of people to be engaged with the forest? Because I think that especially in a more rural area like where we are now, people who grew up in this area are familiar with the forest. It's somewhere they grew up. You grew up in a forest. How do you get more people who may not think of themselves as forest people to take advantage of these natural areas and be able to enjoy them?
So we definitely have a division of our forest, state, private, and tribal forestry. And we actually have a urban connection person in St. Louis that worked to help people basically get to the National Forest. And so, as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with that person here on Friday and looking forward to working with them in terms of understanding our partnerships and the different ways that we are getting the urban areas to the forest.
What do you think are going to be the biggest challenges that you're going to face in this job?
Being all things for everyone. You know, the National Forest is for everyone, and we manage for multiple uses. And so sometimes it could be difficult if someone wants one thing in terms of larger trails, for example, and versus someone want a bike and trail or whatnot. And so just being able to understand people's needs and being able to work together to just make sure everyone enjoy the forest.
One environmental issue that's affecting a lot of us is the way that the climate is changing. How does that affect the way that you manage the forest and look towards what the future is going to bring?
When it comes to climate change, we do have to make those adjustments, and it can be difficult. I remember sometime in my career just walking with a landowner who used to hunt and fish on the National Forest, and he was just telling the story of how things were when he was a kid. And how he would love to take his granddaughter out and show them, you know, how things were and wanted their grandkids to experience that same experience. But things are just not the same, you know, rather it's because of climate change or just because of the times that we're in. You know, it can be difficult to understand, but we have innovative ways and working with research to better understand that and make adjustments to our management practices.
That was Vince Keeler, the new forest supervisor for the Mark Twain National Forest, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan All. Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.